Thank you very much. It's really good to be with you this morning. Nice, bright, sunny morning, and hopefully a bright, sunny preach for you that will keep you awake. Pam and I have been traveling just recently. We had the privilege of going to Brazil just a few weeks ago. First time I've been down to South America to serve a church there, but also a mission conference, Antioch Mission, who send Brazilian believers all over the world, and there's quite a good number of those as well. And they support small churches and help small churches to send people on mission. And we were out there as part of their link with Commission and New Frontiers. Pam and I had the privilege to be out there. And we also met out while we're out there with one of our young men from Woking, from Welcome Church, a guy called Luke Simone. And he was a barrister, did really well, wasn't materialistic, but enjoyed an extravagant lifestyle in some ways, and actually then went out to New York and served out in New York as a barrister, was doing really, really well, took a few months out to go and do some work in Sao Paulo in Brazil to help the street children, and ended up giving up his work as a barrister and going there full time to Sao Paulo and to serve children who were separated from their families. He helped to run an orphanage, and in that orphanage, they helped children recover from street life and also put them back in touch with their parents and families. And now he's moved up to Rio, and he lives in a favela. Favela is one of their kind of slums. The slum is run by the gang, so he's there by God's grace and by permission of the drugs gang that are there. We can operate with that. We understand who's really in charge, and that's God. And he's got the favor of those people, amazingly, to be able to build a community center and to serve people out there. So we've had an exciting few weeks, busy few weeks, so I still don't really know what retirement is, but I don't think it's in God's plan anyway for any of us to really retire and continue to be available to him. But it's really nice to be with you. It's exciting to hear about some of your changes. I know some of you will feel a bit dizzy moving 90 degrees around one way to another, but I'm sure God will help you to get through it and get over it and to bring your best to the new context. May God bless you as you take those steps forward. Pam and I love being grandparents. I've got two daughters and I've got four granddaughters. So I'm surrounded by women. I don't lack advice. All right, I've got plenty of advice. And being a guy who enjoys sport and so on, and some kind of manly stuff and whatever, my life has been changed by having all ladies around me, and changed for the better, let me say. And I sincerely mean that, darling. So I've had a great kind of time with my granddaughters, but the exciting time, it's nice to see them all grown up. Our eldest is about 10, the smallest Trixie is about 2, and she's just about that age where you play a game called hide and seek. Do you know? Hide and seek, and we've all probably played it at some time, and at that age, they're just so cute and kind of naive, and it's great fun because you go and hide, and they come and find you, make enough noise for them to find you. They're very excited. Then you say to them, now your turn to hide. And where do they go? They go exactly to the same place that you've been hiding. And just in case you're missing them, they're almost shouting out, I'm here, I'm here. Or you can hear them giggling and so on. And you just kind of join in with the game. And it's just great fun to do it. And but there's a phrase that you use in that, so we use, ready or not. Have you heard that phrase? Ready or not. And we're coming, so we generally ask them to count, and they count, and then, ready or not, we're coming. And I will preach this morning about ready or not. Ready or not. And part of your series through the Gospel of Luke, I don't know what you're like, kind of waiting for people. Are you patient? Husbands and wives, who generally does the waiting? I don't want any marital problems or any further counseling needed in your marriage. I would say generally I'm kind of there in the car waiting and Pam is still getting ready to come out. And I probably lose my salvation several times in those few minutes that seem like an hour as I'm waiting there for Pam. I think, why can't she be ready? But again, I'm ready, sorting myself out. She's probably got 101 different things to sort out that I wouldn't think about, but she's doing, and so on. And even my daughters, two daughters, one of them would be there in the car with me, and the other one would still be in the house with Pam getting things sorted out. And some people are kind of good at getting sorted. Some people, if you're a person that kind of thinks, well, I'll get it all sorted, I'm there, you're going to spend some time waiting for other people. And sometimes waiting is a real test for us. Do we sometimes lose patience? Do we lose interest? Well, you don't lose interest in a marriage in some ways, but the context we're going to look at is about people who are waiting who get distracted, who get distracted. And we want to be those that wait ready, alert, and ready. We do live in an age, don't we, where everything has to be quick and fine. It's amazing now what you can find out. You're having a conversation with people. You mention a name nobody really knows, so it's Googled. You can find out information almost immediately now about so many things. What do you do about this? You can find out so much advice and help. We live in an instant culture. Now we don't even kind of grow our own lawns, do we? We just get the turf in. We're not even patient enough to grow a lawn, some of us. They call it instant gratification. It gets better, I hope. We want to read something from Luke chapter 12. I'm just going to read verse 34, although the main passage is from 35. Verse 34. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, Who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, My master's taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the men servants and maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Real challenging passage, challenging teaching of Jesus Christ about watching and waiting for the Master's return. Are we faithful? Are we ready? Or are we casual and distracted? And the teaching in Luke chapter 12, as you will know, has already been about where's your heart facing? Where's your life disposed? Are you thinking about material things, earthly things, or heavenly things? Jesus has been teaching about worrying about the present. Don't worry about the present. Seek God's kingdom first, and God will look after the rest of it. So don't worry just about temporal things. He's been teaching about a rich fool who thought after gaining lots of possessions and wealth could just kind of live his own life without regard for God. He was rich temporarily. He was rich on earth, but he was not rich towards God. And Jesus is continuing that teaching. He's saying, listen, where's your heart facing? Are you so kind of distracted by living life as if it's all to do with your food and your money and your earthly things? Don't lose sight of the heavenly thing. And don't lose sight of the fact that Jesus is going to return. Are you anticipating Christ's return? And I think living in the attitude of being ready for Christ's return is a way to actually put everything else in order. That's why Jesus said, seek his kingdom first and everything else will be sorted out. We don't often believe that, or we find it difficult to believe. But he says, seek the kingdom first and everything else. And I believe as we think more about Christ's return, not that we get anxious or worried about it, not that we try and work out the dates or the times or whatever, but as we think more about the return of Jesus, it can help us in some ways to make sure we're not distracted. We're not wasting our time. So I think it's a good antidote to hypocrisy, to compromise, to worry, to materialism. Jesus here uses the Eastern household as an example. Be ready for your master's return. The household was one where there was a master who had authority. He was in charge. He was the owner of the house and the household. And he would have some stewards, some servants, and they were under the master's authority. And they would represent him, but also they were responsible for stewarding the household and the property of the master. And they were good administrators, doing things on his behalf, serving him well, watching over the household on behalf of the master, making sure people were fed, actually maintaining property and so, but representing him and serving him really well. If any of you have seen Downton Abbey, then you might recognize somebody called Mr. Carson. I know some of you are too spiritual to watch that. But anyway, there's a Mr. Carson who's in charge of the household. And he serves the Earl of Grantham. I sound as if I'm a regular watcher. I'm not really, but I've seen it a few times. And he is that kind of the epitome of a good steward. He's responsible to the master. He serves him well, and he looks after the household on his behalf. And Jesus says there are two types of steward. There are the faithful stewards, and there are those who are failures as stewards on behalf of the master. He says, are you ready or are you distracted? And the picture is that there was a Jewish wedding. Most Jewish weddings would be in the evening at nighttime. And these servants, if the master's gone to the wedding, they would have to wait maybe till the early hours for his return. And it also says the time of the master's return is uncertain. Nobody knows. He hasn't said, I'll be back at 1 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock. He hasn't said exactly when he's going to return. But they've got to be ready. And those who wait faithfully, maybe until 2 a.m. towards sunrise even, and those who are ready will be blessed. And the picture that's used is about the Jewish night watchers. So the Jews had times, Romans had kind of four night watchers, but the Jews had three night watchers. And sunset till 10 o'clock in the evening was like the first watch. The second watch from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the morning. And the third watch was from 2 a.m. to sunrise. And it says here, you may have to wait till the second or the third. There could be a long time waiting. A long time waiting. And you have to keep there with your eyes open, ready, prepared for the master's return. And that must have been pretty tough. I don't know whether you've waited. Not often has Pam been out. Not that she's not allowed out, but generally we go out together. But if she's out and I'm not out and it's been, she's gone off to a, I remember she went to a Cliff Richard concert years ago. That's okay, because he's a Christian. Okay, so she went to a Cliff Richard concert. And she was ages coming back. I mean, it was 12 o'clock when I didn't really know what had gone on. And it was before mobile phones and all that sort of stuff. So I was waiting and waiting and waiting. partly worried, partly concerned, partly thinking, well, I'll go to bed. But it was just a challenge for me to cope with that. Do you understand? Because it was an unusual thing for me. Normally we're together. And that's exactly what's happening here. But there is praise for the servant who was ready for the master. And also praise for that servant who treats others well in the waiting. And then Peter asks a question. Is this teaching, Jesus, is it just for us disciples, those with kind of special responsibilities, or is it for all believers? And Jesus doesn't answer directly, but he kind of points to another example, a similar example. The truth is, the teaching here is probably, in some way, needs to be heard by people who carry responsibility. Are you carrying your responsibility well? But on the other hand, we all carry responsibility. So it's for all of us. We all have a responsibility to serve the Lord and to serve one another, to make use of the talents. So it was just a mention early on by Tom. We all have gifts and talents. We need to be faithful in using them. Don't bury them. Make them available. Risk them. Risk them because God loves that. He'd much rather you risk your talent than bury it and hide it away. He's for people who will risk their talent. And we have things that we need in some way to take responsibility for, and that's exactly what this is about. We all have responsibility in one way or another. So, are you waiting, watching, and ready? So this is about, there's a crisis coming. Some people, some commentators believe this is maybe referring a little bit to the crisis of the cross. Are they going to be ready for that? But actually, the vast majority and the bigger lessons for us are about the return of Jesus Christ. And I want to teach this in a helpful way, even though it's challenging. It is about examining yourself. Later on, we're going to take the bread and the wine. And in Corinthians, it says, so let a man, let a woman examine themselves, and so let them eat and drink. It's not to mean that you're disqualified. We live in God's grace. Isn't that lovely? But there's a time for us to examine ourselves. How are we doing? Are we distracted? And Jesus is warning here, listen, don't be distracted. Keep faithful. And we can all feel under pressure by that because none of us is perfect in that, are they? I mean, some of you are looking forward to Christmas. I say, well, what if Jesus comes before Christmas? Are you ready for that? Well, there's a right thing about preparing for Christmas. There might be things you're looking forward to. It's not a sin. Do you understand? It's not a sin to be looking forward to things in our lives. God wants us to have life to the full. That's why he sent Jesus, that we might have life to the full and enjoy it. So I don't want this to be a word that condemns you, although it's probably good that someone, a guest, preaches this to you. And so, because I have no axe to grind with any of you, right? I don't know what you're doing, what your situation. I know some of you, known some of you for a long time, but I can just preach God's word and hopefully with a smile on my face. That doesn't make you feel bad because I don't want to bring condemnation. See, I could say to you in a similar way this morning, you don't love God enough. Now, that's true. Which one of us here loves God enough? So it's true, but it doesn't help you at all. Does it? It doesn't help you. It just really kind of makes you, oh. All right, so I want to teach this in a way that will actually not make you feel condemned, but let the Holy Spirit bring conviction. Condemnation is a dead end, whereas conviction of the Holy Spirit has an opening towards healing and restoration and forgiveness. And that's the difference. And that's what I want to bring through God's word this morning. In 1 Peter 1:13, it says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober. And as you read things about being ready for the second coming, sobriety comes in a lot. Right? Being sober, being kind of thinking about it, not being drunk, not being kind of foolish, not being absent-minded or too casual about it, but have a think about it. And it's good this morning we look at this passage so we can have a think just then about the second coming. Because we sometimes live as if it's never going to happen. I remember as a little boy thinking, being raised in Liverpool, hearing lots of kind of good sermons about the second coming, I thought, well, I'm going to live. I'm not going to die because Jesus is going to come. before I die. Well, I'm nearly 70. So, you know, and, you know, I'm thinking, well, that was a bit of a silly thing to think. But it's good to live in anticipation of the Lord coming. And it's good for us this morning to think, hey, am I kind of alert? Am I sober? Am I thinking about this? Is there an evaluation in a good way under God's grace of my life, what I'm giving myself to, what I'm responsible for, how I'm handling my opportunities and these things? 1 Peter, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. Are you alert and ready? The picture here is of the servants getting their tunic and pulling their long tunic up and putting it into their belt so they can move quickly. Because the long tunics would sometimes hinder them in their work or their running. Elijah did that when he ran before Ahab. He pulled his long tunic up so he could run, get his legs going. Are you alert and ready? Is your light shining? There's a talk here about having your lamp ready with the wick trimmed and make sure it's into the fuel supply. Are you enjoying the presence and the power of the person of the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. Because he wants to keep you fueled in your waiting, that your light might shine brightly, that you're alert. You're not living in the darkness, but you're in the light of his presence. And you're ready for it. Are you alert and ready? Make sure maybe this morning you're just trimming your wick. That's a funny sort of phrase to use. But in some way, God is helping you just to prune a few things. So you're ready. You're not kind of wasting time or distracted by things. So you're not taken by surprise. And this is not just a message from Jesus. Paul teaches on it later on. 1 Thessalonians 5. Listen to this. I'll read it to you. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, are you listening? But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. We shouldn't be surprised. It should be a readiness. You are all children of light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. There's that word again. Sober, ready, thinking, alert, not distracted, not with our minds muddled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let's be sober. He's got a bit of a fixation, hasn't he, on being sober? But it's good for us. I'm not saying we're all drunk, but it's a picture here. Sometimes people can get drunk and they're not sure what time it is. They're not sure what's going on. They're lost to reality. They're lost to time. They're lost to responsibilities. And Paul here is teaching, listen, are you sober? Are you kind of, you think about these things? Just, the Lord can come any moment. Let's be ready. Let's be serving him. Let's be alert. Let's be alive. But since we belong to the day, let's be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, hallelujah, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now, there's a responsibility. In the waiting, we're to be sober, and we're also to encourage one another and to build each other up. Can I just say, don't leave it to others to do that. There are some people amongst you, I guess, that will be pretty good at encouraging others. But don't just leave it to them. We're all called to build one another up. Encourage one another. And then you look at Revelation, it says, look, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed. So are you ready? Are you waiting? Hopefully you've not given up. I guess because you're here, you haven't totally given up. Hallelujah. Hopefully you've not neglected your duty, your calling. You're not living something that's a compromise to what God has called you to. You're not asleep spiritually. And this is all about being such a good steward with your tunic tucked in, ready, still ready for work, still going, serving others with your lamp in hand, burning bright, helping to put food on the table for others, serving others, feeding others. Or have you become casual? Have you lost interest in serving others, waiting faithfully, become lazy? In the middle of this, it's good to remember what kind of master we have and the sort of master we're waiting for. Because in the first part of the reading, it says this: when the master comes back, he will tell his servants to recline at the table and he will serve them. Isn't that a wonderful picture of God's goodness and grace to us? That he actually wants to bless us. So that's the sort of master we're waiting for. So we're not waiting for a master who's fault-finding. Oh, you didn't think about me yesterday. Or you're planning something next year and you don't know whether I'm going to come back or not. You know, not someone who's finding fault with you. He understands what you're like. He sympathizes with you. A good-hearted master, hallelujah, that wants to bless you. And it's good in the middle of this self-examination to realize what a good-hearted Savior we have. What a gracious Father we have. So we don't take this teaching with a spirit of condemnation or of fear or that God is accusing us in a way that he wants to pin us in the corner and find fault. He's not like that. He wants to bless us. But he wants to find you ready and willing and awake and sober. And that's why we need to just consider ourselves. Are you working at your responsibilities? You've been chosen for fruit. I find that an exciting thing. When Jesus said, I chose you that you might bear fruit, fruit that will last. I don't feel condemned by that. I feel, wow, that's a really positive thing. That whatever I'm in, the situation I'm in, the way I can, I'm sure there's things I could do better and differently. But actually, God has chosen me to bear fruit. I find that so positive. I don't feel under pressure. I feel, well, that's what I'm called to do. I'll just kind of work out what God gives me to do. I'll pay attention, make use of opportunities, serve him where I can, where I'm given the opportunity. Do good to those I have responsibility for. And I will bear fruit. That's the way it is for people who are called by God. So it's not a pressurized thing. We're called to be salt and light. And to be honest, that's not so difficult to do in these days when people are worrying and moaning and complaining and finding pressure. In some way, we have pressures, but we can share about someone that we know is our fellow, is our helper, our good shepherd, who cares for us and helps us through. We can share hope when people don't have hope. We can show forgiveness when other people don't show forgiveness. We can be salt and light. We can tell people of the good news. So our waiting and our watching is not to be passive, but active, making most of the opportunity, demonstrating faithfulness, perseverance. And whether it's noticed or not by people doesn't matter, because God sees. God sees our heart and God sees what we do. So do what you can for those you're responsible for. If you're a leader, if you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, in your place of work, amongst your neighbors, whatever the area God has given you, do the good that you can. Make use of the time. Be as diligent as you can. Sometimes there are pressures in our own home. We have to give our time to that. I don't think God finds fault with that. Providing we're taking responsibility for what we need to take responsibility for. It's important that we do that. But if you start to think, oh, he's not returning soon, I can just take it easy and forget my responsibilities, forget my talents, bury them, then we're on a slippery slope. And we must beware that slippery slope of being casual. See, we live in God's grace, but God's grace also brings with it some element of accountability for what we do with God's grace. Paul could say, I've received grace and I've shown it. I am what I am by God's grace. I've tried to live it out for others. We need to beware the slippery slope. And sometimes that can be just a forgetfulness about our accountability to God and what he's called us to do. So even Jesus had a sense of urgency. So it'd be good for the Lord to find you and me if he returns faithfully at our work or our calling, doing what we can. There can be seasons when we may not be working, but we can understand. I'm sure God will understand the season. If you've served for 20 years and you've just given up a task, it doesn't mean God's going to come catch you out. That's not the spirit of it at all. But whatever we're doing, whatever our season, let's be faithful. Sometimes it's raising children. Sometimes it's caring for somebody. That's our season. It'd be good for us, and it mentions that. It'd be good for you, for the master, to find you serving faithfully in our work, in our calling, in our responsibilities. It'll be good for the Lord to find you at peace with your brothers and sisters, not beating them up, not finding fault with them. The Bible says, live at peace with all, as much as lies within you, live at peace. Sometimes we can't live at peace with people who don't choose it from their side, but actually we can choose it from our side. And we can live at peace with people like this. So don't let the Lord find us neglecting what we're being called to do. Don't let him find us doing what we like, regardless of his call and his commission. Let him not find us self-indulgent or mistreating or neglecting those in our care. Hopefully he won't find us distracted by materialism, although we enjoy things that are around us. But we're not sold out to it. We're not giving ourselves totally to it at all. Let's not be distracted by worries. Because the Lord says, seek first my kingdom and other things will be sorted out for you. Let's not be conflicted by the cares of this world. So let's not waste the opportunity to put things right with him and with others. So we await the return of a loving and generous master. But he is no fool. He's given us blessing, and there is an accountability. Corinthians talks about testing by fire what we built on his foundation, whether we built with gold, silver, precious stones, or with wood, hay, and straw. So here, Jesus is bringing a strong teaching about accountability for stewards and servants. And it's something that can just make us kind of just squirm a little bit. But actually, he's a good master. He is for us. And it's good now and again just to take stock of our lives. Not to be under condemnation, be under his grace, but say, Lord, please find me diligent. Please find me available. I don't need to find me distracted, lost to the worries of the world. Whatever you give me to do, whatever season this is in my life, please, I just want to do it well and serve you. And hopefully he will find us in that position. He doesn't mince his words here. Representing the master's displeasure is quite nasty at the end of that passage about beatings and so on. It's a sober warning for all of us. It's a warning for all of us because to whom much has been given, much is expected. And if you feel really blessed, then actually there's an accountability for that. It's not that God gives with one hand and takes with the other, but he gives and gives and gives, but expects us to be good stewards of what he gives to us. So this accountability is for all. There's no Superman here. Do you understand that isn't going to be judged? Isn't going to have to give an account? We all give an account before the Lord. So it's good day today to say, right, Lord, thank you. We're looking forward to Christmas. I enjoy Christmas. I'm going to enjoy the food, I'm going to enjoy the family, I'm going to watch some things on telly and so on, but I'm not lost to the Lord's purposes, hopefully. Do you understand? So I don't need to be neurotic about what I'm teaching you. I just want you to be good-spirited. There was a boxer, it was maybe the best boxer we've ever seen in the history, called Cassius Clay, became Muhammad Ali. And he was a brilliant heavyweight boxer. And he was on a plane when he was called Cassius Clay. And there were signs went up for the seatbelts. And he didn't put his seatbelt on. And the stewardess came up to him and said, please put your seatbelt on. And Cassius Clay, being champion of the world, he said, Cassius Clay, he said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And the stewardess said to him, Superman don't need no plane either. Put your seatbelt on. You see, there's no exceptions to the accountability, to the belt of accountability that we're all going to face. And I say that with a nice smile on my face. Just that, I don't feel condemned by that. I don't feel, in some ways, much more of my life is behind me than ahead of me. Yeah, I'll be serving the Lord differently. Things change. But I'll only be diligent, and that's what we are called to. We're not going to lose our salvation. That depends on faith in Christ, not my works. But we're going to be diligent in it. And the Bible's full of these personal reviews. So let a man examine himself, and so let him eat and drink. And that's what we'll be doing in a few moments. Paul said to some elders, keep watch over yourselves. Just keep watch over yourselves. Jude said, keep yourself in God's love. See, we can say it's all about Jesus, and it is, our salvation. But our sanctification and our service is actually to do with our attitude and what we bring in that too. So today, as we take the bread and wine, let's examine ourselves. In God's grace and God's love, we have a good master. He wants to bless you. But if there's any lacking in diligence, things you need to sort out, things that you're not taking responsibility for, then let's put it right with him today. Let's stand. Lord, we thank you for life. We thank you for family, friends, for homes. We thank you for this season we're entering into. We thank you, Lord, that you've also come, Lord Jesus, to give us life to the full. Hallelujah. So you're not miserable. You're not finding fault. You want us to enjoy life to the full. Hallelujah. But you also know, Lord, that to do that, we need to be just keeping ourselves in your love and your grace and in your purposes. And I pray, Lord, as we finish this morning by taking the bread and the wine, you'll help us just in moments of reflection, just to thank you for what you've blessed us with and to be accountable for the opportunities and responsibilities that we have. And Lord, none of us is in retirement. We're all available to you, whatever stage of our life. So help us, Lord, be diligent. And we want it to be good for us when you come and you find us ready and waiting for you. Amen. Amen.